KMOX Radio, in our ongoing pursuit of science, exploration, and the study of the universe, is proud to welcome once again retired professor, the James S. McDonnell Distinguished Professor from Washington University, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ray Artvidson.
Dr. Ray, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. I'm glad to be back. We always had a lot of fun.
Well, we love having you on, and there's nobody who knows more about space than you. And, hey, it's an exciting week. It looks like we're getting ready to repeat a return to the moon that some of us lived through in the 60s. How excited are you about this trip around the moon that Artemis is about to make?
Yeah, totally. We're back. I remember 1969 watching the landing with Neil getting off and walking around on the moon, and then followed by Buzz. And that was, a little tiny black and white TV. But my gosh, the current launch, Artemis 2, and they're on their way to the moon. It's a 10-day mission. I was amazed at how popular, this whole event was in terms of people around the world. So we're back. And it really demonstrates that human flight, gets a lot of attention relative to what I've been involved with, the robotic systems. The landers, the rovers that I've been involved in, they get a lot of attention, but nothing like the humans, going to space. So it's really exciting.
And we have never sent a human to the dark side of the moon, which I guess is not dark if you're on that side of it, but we've never sent a human to the dark side of the moon or around it, have we?
That's correct. I mean, we've seen the dark side all the way back to the Soviets, a long time ago, like 60 years, with their robotic spacecraft. But in terms of, going around the backside and coming back to the Earth and taking a lot of really good images, which they'll do with Artemis II, that's really pretty exciting. And it's not dark. It's just that the one side of the moon, because it has heavy lava flows, is always pointed back to the Earth. So it's never a case that we can see the backside, which is not always dark, from our Earth vantage point.
I don't like looking at my own backside, so but I guess we're going to get a shot at the moons here, which is good. The propulsion required to make this trip, the secondary propulsion that happened yesterday afternoon, what's the science of that? How did I do that?
Yeah, so the SLS was used because you have to get a big spacecraft, the surface module, the rocket that gets you out of Earth orbit, plus Orion, off the face of the Earth, from Cape Kennedy. Then you get into orbit about the Earth. Then you have to kick stage and escape Earth's gravity. And Earth is pretty big. And that gets you into this orbit about the moon. And then they're basically coasting until they get back. And then they'll kind of get rid of the service module and just do a direct entry. They're coming in at like 24,500 miles per hour, direct entry with the heat shield and then parachutes and landing in the ocean just a little bit west of San Diego on the 10th of April. So it's a lot of energy needed because the Earth is so big and the gravity pull is so enormous.
Man, 24,000 miles. That's like riding to Florida with my wife.
That's faster than my Porsche.
Yeah, no kidding. So is part of this mission maybe that we might someday colonize the moon?
I'm not sure colonize is the correct answer. It's more like setting up bases so it becomes kind of like Antarctica for scientific exploration. And there are some potential lunar resources up there embedded, particularly in the regolith, because the sun is sending out all these particles. And some of the regolith has what's called helium-3. It's an element, but it's a particular version of helium that can be used in future fusion reactors if we ever get there. So I think for now, it's not so much colonization, but exploration and scientific discovery and demonstrating that we're a space-faring nation. And I think there are a couple dozen other nations that are involved in Artemis and supplying bits and parts. I mean, one of the astronauts is Canadian, for example.
You have spent your entire life focused on Mars, or a lot of your career focused on Mars. Why does going to the moon, does that give you hope that someday we will be making that trip to Mars? Is this one of the steps that has to take place?
Yeah, it's debatable whether or not we need to go to the moon first or go directly to Mars. I think, you know, Elon Musk wants to go directly to Mars, but I think he underestimates the difficulty, the cost, the technology that doesn't exist. So we want to learn how to do a sustained presence on another planetary world, that is our moon, before we even attempt to get to Mars and solve all the technical difficulties. But I think Mars is a target. You know, what's happening with the robotic missions, including Perseverance, the latest rover, there's excellent evidence in the rock record that there were microbes present billions of years ago. So the more we look on Mars, the more it looks like early on it was warm and wet and may have even had microbial life. And I think that's exciting. And besides, you know, the need to explore, which we're a nation of explorers, a world of explorers, means that we've got pretty neat science to can kind of zero in on the red planet.
Yeah, the work you had done, did we send a total of 3 rovers to Mars? Is that accurate?
4.
Oh, 4.
There was Spirit Opportunity back in 2004. And in fact, Opportunity, as you know, lasted till 2018. Just a well-made American vehicle.
Wow.
And it broke. It didn't break. It was lost because of a massive dust storm. And then we had Curiosity landed in 2012, still going on Mount Sharp. And then the latest is Perseverance, which is collecting samples for, at some point, to be returned to Earth.
That is Dr. Ray Arvidsson. So happy to have you back here on the Voice of St. Louis. The Chris and Amy Show is next right here on KMOX.